461-3000. That's 461-3000. Or you can direct connect to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
You're listening to The Truth, 91.7 FM.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board. Join in the dialogue and the discussion that we have right here each and every day on Let's Face the Issues. As we face the issues, let me remind you, we do so from a central biblicist worldview. Now, perhaps you say, what is a central biblicist worldview? I think many years ago I coined that term. I hear it every now and then from others that I believe have picked up on it. That's all right. But a central biblicist worldview, simply interpreted, means that each and everything that we see happening in the world, globally, nationally, internationally, statewide, or in our local communities, whatever we see taking place, you can call it politics if you want to. You can call it religion if you want to. You can call it foreign policy or domestic policy, etc., etc. We need to view it through the prism of the Word of God. What does the Bible say? I've said so many times, and perhaps you've heard me many times on this broadcast, when we read the Bible, when we study the Bible, when we look at what God's Word says, we're looking at what God has done in the past, present, and future. We see it all laid out chronologically in our scriptures for us to understand what God is doing. God has already told us what to expect in Matthew 24 and 25. Luke chapter 21, Mark chapter 13, what we call the eschatological prophetic main text in the Bible. God's already spelled out what to expect, what to look at, what to analyze. That's what we do each and every day on this broadcast. We view the events through the prism of the Scripture. And as we do so, we are minded what Jesus said to his disciples. John 8:31-32, Jesus says, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, I am truth. Further in John 17:17, a declaratory statement is made about the word of God. Thy word is truth. Then in Psalms 117:2, the Bible says, the truth of the Lord endures forever. Now, I don't know about you, but that's a comforting pillar to place your head on, is to realize that God's truth remains forever. Now, if I can just put a Youngblood parenthetical footnote to that, God's word does not need an update. God's word does not need a revision. God's word does not need to be watered down, as some believe that it does. The last time I counted and looked, I believe there were some 487 different versions of the Scripture. Most of the modern versions today are good for wallpaper in an outhouse and not good for studying the Word of God. We lose the value of the truth of the Word of God when we do that. I've used the term, it's like taking the old thermal paper photocopiers. You make a copy with that thermal paper. Take that thermal paper copy about 90 days later and make a copy, and then you make a copy and a copy. After about 4 or 5 copies, you've lost the ability to read what that article or that paper said. And that's what we find with the watering down of the different versions or so-called translations of the Scripture. I go back to the fact that when we study the Word, we need to study what God's Word says, not what somebody says that God's Word says. and allow God through the Holy Spirit to speak. It's the reason the Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's the key, rightly dividing the word of truth. It goes back to truth. Orwell, the secularist of yesteryear, said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. We find that to be factually true even today. Ladies and gentlemen, truth ought to be grasped, held on to, honored, and received. We're finding the contrary of that in society today. I'm looking at a headline that is concerning. Most younger Americans say there's no such thing as absolute truth. Now, put that on hold a moment before I read one other sentence in this article. Most younger Americans say there's no absolute truth. It's talking about the millennials, 18 to 35-year-old age group, according to the survey. And according to the survey, the majority, over half, majority believe there's no such thing as a centrality of truth, that it is simply to be modulated as you see fit. This is the reason, in my most humble opinion, we find some confusion in society today about things like, what is biblical salvation? What is baptism? Does baptism say? We're going to talk about that, by the way, in the broadcast today. And the same confusion about from the river to the sea, Palestine must be free. Do they really understand, the millennials, really understand what they're saying? Is there any value in going back to the original, i.e., in these cases so often, going back to our Constitution, going back to the centrality of the Word of God, going back to what God's Word says, that our founding fathers depended on for the codification of our Constitution? We're losing the values that I believe we ought to hold dear and have regard for even in society today. But the younger Americans say there's no such thing as absolute truth. They say this: each person determines their own version of truth. Yet I'm looking at an article that says Western society will be destroyed without a commitment to truth. I'll go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer Jan Hus. He made this powerful statement: faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. May I say, that ought to be the mantra in the heart, the mind, and on the tongue of each and every Christian even today. I believe we'd find a vastly different society if Christians, notwithstanding others, if Christians would take that stand today. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the homeowner brand as well as the professional lawn care equipment. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Perhaps you say, how do you find that? Ladies and gentlemen, you find that at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road, there's a benchmark and identifier. On the campus of Tools for Time, there's a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole flows the U.S. flag, Old Glory, 24/7. Find that flag at the flagpole. The base of that flagpole, ladies and gentlemen, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. 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 Ladies and gentlemen, our issue today is multifaceted. I'm simply calling the issue things that we must know. Things that we must know. Ladies and gentlemen, today in our world order of things and the society in which we're living in, things are moving so rapidly, so quickly, that it's very difficult for us to absorb and analyze each and every aspect of what's happening globally and in our nation. But I believe there are things that are slipping through the news that's not being highlighted, that's not being focused on, that we're not being told about, if you please, by the news media, even the best of the news media, the most conservative of the news media, if that term can be used about news media, calling it conservative, but even the best of the news media, I believe, is failing to bring to light news information about some things that, from the conservative standpoint, the Christian standpoint, the moral ethicist standpoint, that somehow, some way, is not being told. It's falling through the cracks. I believe it's what's happening globally, what's happening in our nation. There are many things that are most important, dealing with morals and ethics and values, that's not being reported in what I call the Marxist media. Just consider a few of these headlines. I'm not going into great details and depth on each of these, but I'm going to hit several headlines and then ask you to call in. Give me some reports on where you stand, your thought about these issues. And perhaps if you have thoughts about issues that I do not touch on today, I want us to kind of have a semi-open mic that you can call in, ask your question, bring up an issue that perhaps you're concerned about, and let's talk about it. I believe Christian conservatives and patriots are those of us that hold to biblical values, biblical morals and ethics, that we need to have a standard and understand that we're not being told the truth about many of these issues. And secondly, we're not even being told, we are not being told, the people not being told from the news media about most of these issues that are so important to the central biblicist Christian worldview today. For example, the left-wing foundations, the immoral, ungodly, unholy, unbiblical foundations, left-wing foundations are bankrolling, listen, are bankrolling a push to bring the Quran into the American churches. Now you say, well, Rick Warren said that the Islamists and the Christians are sister religions. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, let me touch on this lest I forget it. On tomorrow's broadcast, Lord willing, we're going to look at biblical Christianity and its ethics, morals, and values and standards. And we'll look at Islam in a comparison and contrast. Can we compare? Would you say that Islam is even comparative, has any comparative to Christianity? Can Islam be considered something that we can embrace? That's the subject. That's what we'll do on tomorrow's broadcast with the roundtable discussion with Dr. Phelps and Dr. Davis as we talk about it. I believe it's important for you, our listener, to understand the breadth and the depth of what Islam is, what it isn't, and why it is absolutely revolting for any organization, any structure, to say that it's a sister religion. But we have those today that's pushing to get the Quran brought into the pulpits of our local churches. I'm going to read a headline and a few paragraphs of this massive article. Left-wing foundations bankrolling a push to bring the Quran into American churches. Rockefeller-linked funding and grants from the Communities Foundation of Texas are underwriting a campaign, all framed as a fight against Islamophobia. Now, Islamophobia is a misnomer. A phobia means something you're afraid of. I'm not afraid of Islam. I'm just fearful of the fact that we're not being told what Islam's game is, what their goal is, and incrementally what they're doing and what they've been doing for 1,400 years. That's just about to assume total control in the United States of America. Go to Austin, Texas. Go to Plano, Texas. Go to several places in Michigan. Go to New York City. And I could go on and on and on and see what Islam is doing. But listen to this. A Chicago-based interfaith group is pushing churches to read the Quran from their pulpits and to confront what is called Islamophobia in the churches today. Challenging Islamophobia Together, that Chicagoland CITC, has quietly rolled out an initiative like its Reading the Quran in Churches campaign, while promoting a broader effort to reshape Christian teaching and Christian thought from within. The premise is not subtle. Christianity itself must be reexamined, this writer's about the article says. Its theology must be reconsidered. Its traditions must be reframed. Its posture toward Islam fundamentally must be reoriented. But it's not just a local church effort, this article says. Behind CITC, that is the Challenging Islamophobia Together Church, Chicagoland, sits a national advocacy network, the Interfaith Alliance. Listen to this, ladies and gentlemen, backed by millions in foundation funding. Public records show that network has drawn support from major institutional players, including the Henry Luce Foundation, awarded $300,000, as well as the Rockefeller Fund Foundation, Collaborative for Gender and Reproductive Equity, and the Committees Foundation of Texas. In 2023 alone, the Interfaith Alliance funded reportedly $2.87 million in revenue, including about $1.4 million in contributions and grants, financed by progressive groups, aligned, philanthropic, and deeply embedded in the political and cultural battle over the control of America. And it goes on to say, having Muslim Leadership Council helps ensure that our efforts and initiatives are informed by lives, experience, concerns, and insights of those directly affected by Islamophobia. Leaders in Muslim communities can provide valuable perspectives on issues they face, guide the organization's priorities, and help shape programs and policies to be more effective and culturally relevant. Ladies and gentlemen, simply put, there's a move. It's bad enough to have Islam being pushed upon us. It's bad enough to have Islam on the fast track to rise up and take control of America. You've heard me say before, and I'll repeat, Islam is now bragging. Council on American Islamic Relations, known as CARE, and the Muslim Brotherhood are bragging now that they've got 1,100 Muslim candidates running for all offices across America for the 2026 election. That's dangerous. We ought to have policy and procedure in place in America. We ought to have rules and guidelines, laws in place in America that will not allow a foreign-born individual to come into America and run for public office. We ought to have laws in place where you have any background or inclinations to embrace anything other than our Constitution that you cannot run for office in America. But that's not the case. And now there's a push by major bankroll foundations like the Rockefeller Foundation, George Soros and others' foundations. By the way, Soros Organization has about 210 different organizations that are all structured to undermine, tear down, and destroy the constitutional republic called the United States of America. I believe we need to be told the truth by the news media, what is taking place in this realm, not just some pablum that somehow, some way, you and I as Christians, we've got to embrace Islam. We've got to appease the Islamic agenda, that somehow, some way, we're to be blinded and not say anything about it. And ladies and gentlemen, I believe we need to know that. Secondly, I believe that when it comes to the LGBTQ, IAZ, plus protections, just will not do. Americans, cities now are taking it further. Here's an article. Whole lot of love with the LGBTQI plus protection just won't do. American cities take it further. Demands fair treatment for those in multiple partner relationships, multiple parent families, multiple generational households, single parents by choice, blended and chosen families. The article reads, when protections for the LGBTQIA2++ people aren't enough, the city of Olympic, Washington has the answer. Special rights for the polymorphs and for the non-monogamous and more. Actually, the whole category of alternative lifestyle and alternative beliefs and behaviors that appear not to have a special protection, such as pedophilia, needs to be codified in law to give them special privileges. The city council unanimously voted to add diverse family and relationship structures to its anti-bias housing rules protecting consensually and non-monogamous relationships alongside single-parent, multi-generational, blended, and chosen families. They claim, the claims have been, the report said, that it's to address stigma and the other styles of alternative family structures that faced its housing, employment, and health care. Advocates report confirmed have intentions on expanding this ideology statewide. Councilmember Robert Vanderpool said in the report, the change gives Olympia residents expanded civil liberties that they've not had before. It pushes the idea that men with three or four wives, men living with teenage boys, non-normative, loving relationships are just like families with the Western biblically based trends, home of a mom and dad, the report mocked. This is the beginning of another trend to move the leftist goalpost, a new battleground, a new fight. And remember, this only fight that we have today is the trend which the left begins yet another attack on the Western way of life, on the attack on family and God, and the attack on community, a fixed problem where none of these exist. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe we need to be concerned. I believe that every Christian, conservative, and patriot needs to recognize that right now, even though we have a conservative president, a president that's pushing for the protection of religious liberties in America, I believe that we are not recognizing, because the media is not presenting it, state by state, city by city, blue cities, blue states across America, they're undermining, with the rules, regulations, and laws being codified, undermining the religious liberties, the freedom of speech for Christians, and the protection for Christian values, morals, and ethics in our nation. It is happening on a rampant basis, and yet you don't hear that on the news. You don't hear it. But if you hear on the news, you'll hear something where somehow, some way, a leftist that's not called that, that's been arrested 37 times, 25 times, that's not a legal citizen, that's been in and out of jail, been non-prosecuted for all of these years, all of a sudden somebody's throat gets slit, and all of a sudden the news media highlights that for a very brief blip on the radar. Do not show the face, do not call the name, do not give you the facts at the beginning that this person should have been incarcerated or put to death many, many years ago. We're being told, we're being fed a half-truth, if not a whole lie, for the American citizens today. Why am I concerned? Because as a constitutional republic, as a Christian, as a conservative, we need to understand that the morals, ethics, and values are being eroded and undermined in our nation through the leftist media. I'll be Brother Davis is on the line. Go over the question or comment, please.
Thank you, Dr. Youngblood. You know, I think in one of your previous broadcasts, even yesterday, you mentioned that Islam has two separate entities, you might say. I'm just wondering how close to the Democratic Party, to those divisions, is the Democratic Party. And also, in our Constitution of the United States, I don't think the government has the right to distinguish one faith or one religion over another, not to make any laws that exalts one over the other. So if they're going to make us do Muslim in the school, let's put the Bible back in school, and let's insist that every mosque read the Bible instead of the mosque telling us to read the Quran.
Amen.
You might touch on that a little bit for me.
Yes, Brother Davis, listen very carefully to our listeners. You're exactly right. If you were to talk about prayer in the classroom, you'd have the blue-haired Democrats pulling the hair on fire. If you say you want to have prayer in the classroom, even some cases pledge to the flag that you can't do it, you can't do it. But then they come up with it. Well, all religions are equal, and therefore we must not say no to the Islamics. Here's the point. I believe Christians are timid, and in the temerity, somehow, some way, they're fearful to take a bold stand and make a demand of this is what we want, this is how we're going to get it, and we're going to put you out of office if you don't do something to protect us in that realm. The Islamists behind the scenes are pushing and threatening and demanding, and they're getting their demands. Even right here in Jacksonville, where there's a push for the Halal slaughterhouse, the Islamic slaughterhouse, our city council members are caving to the demand of the Islamics right here in our city. And yet the Christians are silent. Some are standing up. Some that go to the meetings and demand to be heard have had their mics turned off by the city council members and or by the zoning members, the zoning department members. They've had their mics turned off because they will not allow them to speak. It's because Christians, in their, as I said, in their temerity, are willing to stand down and not be bold and not be salt and light as we are to be according to the Scripture. And yet with the Islamist, incrementalism is all right with them. Win a half battle today, a half battle next week, a half battle the following week, and then knit that together, and those incremental pushes been taking place now for 1,400 years on a global basis, and we're witnessing today as the Islamic Mafia, the Islamic Brotherhood, the Muslim Brotherhood, and the Council on American Islamic Relations are now being pulled together and brought about. Chip Roy of Texas just introduced legislation that will legislatively call the Muslim Brotherhood a terrorist organization and make it illegal to operate in America. Now, will he get it passed? No. Will he have enough votes for it? No. Will the Democrats vote for it? No. And to go back to further answer your question, the Council on American Islamic Relations, the Muslim Brotherhood, and Antifa, etc., are all the cudgels in the hands of the Democrats to beat the Republicans and quiet the Christians. Did I make it clear?
That sounds pretty clear to me. I tell you what, they may say Christian from the mouth, but their heart is not there.
Absolutely, brother. It demands our prayer, our recognition. This is the reason I want today's broadcast to focus on a broad spectrum of the things that we see taking place that we as Christians, conservatives, and patriots recognize, but we're not being told the truth. We're given half-truth or nothing at all when it comes to the media. And I believe it needs to be, the onion needs to be peeled. We need to look at what is happening so that Christians will know how to pray, how to stand, and what we need to do. Brother Davis, brother, God bless you. We're always thankful for you and your input.
God bless you. I think we need to get our paring knife out and peel that core off of there.
Amen. I'll second that move.
The Bible, the word is sharper than a two-edged sword. Let's preach it.
Amen, brother. God bless you. Thank
God
you.
Bless
have a blessed
you.
Day. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. And let me remind you again, on tomorrow's broadcast on Friday, we'll be talking about the differences between the comparison and contrast of Christianity and Islam. I'm a little bit tired of hearing some preachers that will kind of give an embrace of Islam and say that somehow, some way we can cohabitate together and it's okay. We'll be talking about with the roundtable discussion tomorrow about that. We'll be looking biblically at what the Bible says about Christianity and salvation. We'll be looking at, based on the Quran, their holy book, we'll look at what the holy book, known the Quran, as the Quran says about Islam. What does Islam believe about Jesus? What does Islam believe about Mary? What does Islam believe about truth and lying, deception? What does Islam believe about the deception that is taking place and why it is used? We'll talk about that. So put that on your calendar. Invite others to tune in tomorrow. It'll be an eye-opener for some. It'll be old hat for others, but we encourage you to do that. Here's another headline. Supreme Court strikes down Colorado law banning conversion therapy for LGBTQ minors. And an 8-1 decision impacts more than 20 other states that have similar laws banning conversion therapy. The Supreme Court on Tuesday struck down a Colorado law banning conversion therapy for LGBTQ minors. Now, what does that mean? In the state of Colorado, they had passed legislation that says Christian counselors cannot counsel a person to leave a sodomite lifestyle and receive Jesus Christ. They made it impossible for Christian counselors to operate and carry out the proper God-honoring counseling through biblical truths for them. The article reads, the court ruled in favor of Christian therapists rejecting the state's law that prohibited mental health professionals from trying to change the sexual orientation or gender identity of LGBTQ minors. Justice Kahatcha Brown Jackson was the only dissenter, reading a lengthy summary of her opposition to the bench's decision. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to recognize some of the things that's happening so that we'll know how to pray, what we'll need to do, and how we need to stand as Christians. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take the top of the hour news break. Right after the news, we'll be right back as we face the issues.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.